Today we're going to continue the series entitled, There is Victory in the Blood of Jesus. There is victory in the blood of Jesus. And our scripture for this message is again found in Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. And we will be reading from the New Century Version of the Bible. The New Century Version of the Bible. Amen. And this is a wonderful Bible. It is true to the original manuscripts, but it is a Bible that is a wonderful book to read. It really presents the gospel in a very easy standard English. And one of my young people came up to me Wednesday night and said, Pastor, what's the name of that Bible that you have on the screen? I said, New Century. He said, I got to get me one of those. I'm going to read that. And that's why we're here, Blessed Hope, to give you the desire to read your Bible. And to Brother Roderick Robbins, who stopped me, don't worry about getting that Bible. I will buy you that Bible myself. Amen. So I got you. I got you on that. I was praying for him yesterday over that question. And we're going to get you your New Century Bible. The rest of you young people, mama, daddy, they'll help you out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't raise your hand. Me too. See your board. They got money in the budget. They'll hook you up. Well, I am going to praise the Lord. We don't have a deficit here. We are doing all right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 3, 19 through 26. We got it on the screen. Hallelujah. Y'all see it? Blessed be the name of the Lord. We know that the law's commands are for those who have the law. This stops all excuses and brings the whole world under God's judgment. Because no one can be made right with God by following the law. The law only shows us our sin. And some churches are like that as well, and that's a shame. Amen. But God has a way to make people right with him without the law. And he has now shown us that way, which the law and the prophets told us about. God makes people right with himself through their faith in Jesus Christ. This is true for all who believe in Christ because all people are the same. All have sinned and are not good enough for God's glory. Let me repeat that. All have sinned and are not good enough for God's glory. And all need to be made right with God by his grace, which is a free gift. They need to be made free from sin, through Jesus Christ. God gave him as a way to forgive sin through faith in the blood of Jesus' death. This showed that God always does what is right and fair, as in the past when he was patient and did not punish people for their sins. And God gave Jesus. Let me say that again. And God gave Jesus to show today that he does what is right. God did this so he could judge rightly and so he could make right any person who has faith in Jesus. I want us today to look at verses 21 through 26. And there are 4 points we're going to bring out over the next couple of weeks. 4 points we want you to pay attention to. Number one, God made a way to bring us back to himself. God made a way to bring us back to himself. Number two, faith in Jesus Christ is that way. Faith in Jesus Christ is that way. Number three, all of us have lost our way. So if somebody says, man, what are you? Just say, I'm lost. All of us have lost our way. Number four, the blood of Christ shows us the way. The blood of Christ shows us the way. Now this morning, we want to just cover points one and two. And if the Lord permits, I hope he returns between now and next Sunday, quite frankly, and I'll finish the sermon up there. But if the Lord permits, we'll finish points three and four on next Sunday if the Lord provides. Amen. Now, last Sunday in the previous message, we learned that God has given us his law to live by. Now, he's given it to us two ways. Number one, through the Jewish component known as the Mosaic Law. We call it the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do that. Amen. The other way is through creation, in which God has written his law on our hearts. In other words, you don't need the law of Moses to know that stealing is wrong. Amen. Even a little child knows when that child is being disobedient. Already embedded and wired, or I should say even pre-wired in the conscience of every human being, because we're made in the image of God. We know what is good. We know what is right. You know good from evil. Amen. Let me say it again. You know good from evil. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We all know the difference between right and we know the difference between wrong. Hallelujah. It's written on the inside. Therefore, God can judge whoever he wants. Somebody go walk up to God and go, I didn't hear the gospel. Yeah, but you knew you was messing up, didn't you? See, nobody has an excuse. Nobody can come and say, well, I was born in a Muslim culture or a this culture or a Hindu culture, or I was born in a culture where I didn't learn about religion. No one told me about Jesus, but I wrote my law in your heart. Hallelujah. You knew right from wrong, and you chose wrong. Hallelujah. God can judge everybody. Amen. There's no excuses. But today, we learn that God has made a way to make us right with himself apart from obeying the law. Why did he have to do it that way? Because we can't obey it. We couldn't obey it if we tried. See, man has a problem, and that problem is called sin. And sin is what prevents us from being everything that God wants us to be. Even if you don't want to obey the law, it really doesn't matter whether you want to or not. You know why? Because you don't have the power to obey it. Why don't I have the power? Because you're broken. Why am I broken? Because you're made after the similitude, or after the copyright, if you will, of Adam's sin. That's why. You got a sin problem, and so do I. And I'm not here to talk down and look down at you because I'm on a higher platform. This is nothing but a piece of wood. I'm just like you. We have a sin problem. Paul puts it this way: that which I would do, I do not. And that thing which I would not do, that I do. And then I find working in my body, in the members of my flesh, this principle that says with my flesh, this member, this carnality that I got going on, that lust after too much of this and a little bit too much of that, it serves sin. Hallelujah. Amen. As Chuck Swindoll once put it, sin is fun. No, sin ain't fun. No, you're talking about the consequences. Yeah, you're right. The consequences are never fun, but sin is fun. You know, your flesh loves it. Your flesh loves to go to Cracker Barrel and eat way too much. Your flesh loves that. Your flesh loves to stay up too late. Your flesh hate going to work. You know why? Because your flesh likes to max and relax and have fun on its terms. Without consequences of any kind, no negative, how would we say, side effects. That's what the flesh loves. Why? Because the flesh is made for sin. That's why God doesn't save the flesh. That's why I don't spend all day pampering this. You know why? Because this is going to be worm food in a minute. God ain't here to save this. He's here to save what's on the inside of this. Because I can't obey God if I wanted to. My heart's too wicked. You say, Pastor, and I say, my heart's too wicked. And so is yours. That's why God had to make a way to bring us to himself apart from the law. He recognizes that we cannot make ourselves right, so he does for us what we could not do for ourselves. That's why religion is failing us. Why? Because it cannot make us right with God. It can stop you from cussing, and it might even stop you from smoking and drinking, but it can't get you to heaven. Because to get to heaven, you got to be right with God. And there ain't no law that you can obey or disobey that will get you to heaven. Hallelujah. And in verse 22, we find that faith in Jesus Christ is the way God makes us right with himself. Faith in Jesus Christ is the way that God makes you and I right with himself. So we need to know two things here. What is faith? What is faith? And a lot of people got some fancy definitions about what faith is, and we're going to fix a little bit of that. And the second thing we need to know is this: who is Jesus Christ? What is faith, and who is Jesus Christ? Now, for those of you who've been around the Bible for some time, if you're out in public and you are working among those who are unsaved or unregenerate or unbelievers, if you will, and they ask you what faith is, do yourself a favor and don't quote Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Why shouldn't I quote that, Pastor? Because they don't know what you're talking about. You up there at the water cooler, you at the copy machine, and everybody talking about what y'all learned in Sunday school, and you got the sinner also working at the desk, and you go, and you know what the Bible says, Hebrews 11, 1, now faith, don't nobody know what that means. You go up to a crackhead and say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are they going to do with that? What is someone who's addicted to the casino that they're trying to build over here on the river? What are they going to do with that after they done lost all their money? Honey, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You mean that substance I just spent on a casino? They don't know what to do with that. Don't quote that to a sinner. Keep that in the house. Amen? Among your family who know how to work that. Hallelujah. But don't go up to your job and you got all kind of folk up there. Some are Jewish and Hindu and Muslim and Buddhist and some are atheist. And you're talking about Hebrews 11, 1. What's a Hebrew? They don't know what to do with that. So don't quote that verse outside of the context of the Christian experience, because we know how to work that thing. Amen? So we need to have a definition of faith that works for everybody, because that's why God died. He died for everybody. So we need a faith definition for everybody. So here it is. Faith is the act of believing what the Bible says concerning Jesus Christ. Faith is the act of believing what the Bible says concerning Jesus Christ. And genuine faith, which we also call saving faith, will produce two things. Number one, it produces conviction. And number two, it produces conduct. Real, genuine faith. I'm not talking about no Sunday morning shout, speaking tongue faith. I'm talking about biblical, Christian, life-changing, mind-altering faith. Saving faith will produce conviction and conduct. All I have to know, if you got faith, I just have to look at your lifestyle. Amen. In some cases, even your checkbook. Amen. You ain't got to say amen. Say right there. Conviction means that you have concluded that what the Bible says concerning Jesus is true and that he is indeed real. In the court system, in order to get a conviction, you must prove your case beyond the shadow of a reasonable doubt. Well, the same principle works in the Bible. You must believe that what the Bible says is completely true and there's no room for doubt. In other words, the Bible has proved its case in your heart. You believe what the Bible says, that's it. Well, we have dug up out there in the Middle East some old scrolls and some agnostic gospels or Gnostic gospels, the gospel of Philip and Thomas and Susie and Willie and Rebecca. I ain't interested in that. I got four already. Folk over there trying to dig up Jesus. Amen. They over there hunting for Jesus. I know he in the ground somewhere. Honey, good luck with that, because listen to me, you ain't going to find him. As one friend of mine who is a Jewish rabbi, he comes up to me and he says, now, Pastor, if we do find Jesus, you'll still believe in him, won't you? I said, emphasis on if. I mean, he didn't have to physically raise. Well, the Bible says he did. And see, you have to understand something. The Bible has given me a conviction. It has proved its case in my heart. And there's no room for doubt. Amen. Conviction causes the word of God to jump off the page and into my heart. That's what conviction does. When the Bible says in the book of Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, no matter what I'm going through, I'm not just reading it on a page and quoting it in church. I believe it. I can endure all things. And as Paul was speaking in the context of his prison sentence, I can go through this by the virtue and power that is in the name of Jesus. He's the one who gives me strength. You can do it too. Hallelujah. You can endure all things, all temptation, all opportunities to commit sin, all opportunities to mess up your life. You can avoid it through Christ who strengthens you. When the Bible says that Christ, or that my God is able to supply all your need or to meet all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, conviction tells me this: I might be broke, but I'm going to make it. Because I put the word of God above my circumstances. See, I've got reality and then I got the word. And there will come a time, my friend, when the two don't match. And you will be given a choice to pick which one you will exalt in your life and live by. And you'll have the reality, you sick. You'll have the word, by his stripes we are healed. You're going to have to pick one. Oh, I'm not preaching, am I? All right. Ain't nobody been sick in here but me. Listen, you're going to have to choose one day when they begin to stick the needle in your arm and say, you're going to be asleep for a while. You have to make a decision. Now, you see the needle. They've rubbed your arm with alcohol. Am I talking to somebody? And they've done this. Am I talking to somebody? And to get that vein up, and they've poked the vein, and they say, now, you'll wake up in a few hours. You've got to make a decision. Because you got a needle going in you and you're getting ready to go to somebody's la-la land. And you got to make a decision. Whose word am I going to believe? The word of the doctor or the word of God? I've made my choice. When I wake up, I will be healed. And if it's on this side, I'll be healed. If it's on the other side, guess what? I'm going to be healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to make a choice. And I'm talking to somebody this morning. I know that life is hard. I know you don't know how you're going to get your bills paid. I know all of that. And some of you are refugees from prosperity gospel, where some folk lied to you and told you that if you pay God as if he's broke, that God will send you some money as if he's some multi-level marketing scheme. And you got disillusioned. I'm here to let you know God ain't about sending money to people who give him money. Because if he did that, he owes somebody an apology, because a whole lot of sinners got blessed. Sinners getting paid and the saints are broke. Something wrong with that gospel. Y'all don't like this. That's all right. I really don't care. I'm going to preach this truth. And you need to understand something. You can't give God enough to bless you. You can't give. I tithe. So what? The other 90 is still his. I gave God 10 cents of his dollar. Hey, look at me. That took faith. Don't brag about that. Don't go around touting that. Got churches with a list of their tithers asking for W-2 forms and all this other foolishness. Don't you know God cares more about your tears than your tithe? Money. When did God ever need money? If he needs your money, he can't be your God. I know you got somebody on YouTube and on the TV screen of some evangelists telling you different. Listen, you better get your mind right. Hallelujah. Get your mind right. You broke, and don't be sending nobody no money. I'm going to send this money to somebody who don't know you. Ain't thinking about you. You send that prayer up to God and watch God meet your need. David said, I was once young, now I'm old. I ain't never seen. You his child, you go eat. Y'all, see, we got to figure out some things. Are you his child? Then you go eat. Yeah, but I ain't gave God. You don't know my God. He's bigger than your inability to do what is right. He know you ain't gave and done and did. Watch God. You go eat. I don't. Stop. You go eat. The mortgage will be paid. My son just lost their house, and even the pastor lost his. Are you his child? You go eat. Now, it might be poking beans and bread, but you go eat. You might have to do like we used to do in Wellston, make you a little mayonnaise sandwich, but you will eat. Hallelujah. Have some oatmeal for dinner, but you'll eat. There's a sign on a church located at Olive and Warson Road, a Lutheran church, and on its sign it says these words: sorry looks back, worry looks around, faith looks up. Faith looks up. Now, with conviction, there comes conduct. You say, what do you mean conduct? Conduct is a change in your attitude. It is a change in the choices you make. It is a change in your lifestyle. It is a reconfiguration of your value system. What used to be important to you ain't important no more. And I'm talking about people who are saved. So you got to understand, you can come in, Blessed Hope, and you can feel real good and leave out just as messed up as you came in. See, that ain't saving faith. Saving faith says this: I got saved on Sunday, I'll be at church on Wednesday. Your value system has changed. It has been interrupted by the Spirit of God, and He is reworking the messed up wiring in your head. And He's doing it by the Word of God. And He's taking that twisted mindset and that broken lifestyle that you done lived, and He's renewing it. And He's birthing His life in you. No, nothing short of the resurrection of Jesus Christ Himself. You are going through a resurrection. And that's all Bible right there. You are being resurrected. Even now, you say, I've been saved 30 years. You are in a resurrection process where God is killing the old way and He's birthing the new. Just like He raised His own son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. Conduct is when you realize that you can't live the way you used to live. Conviction without conduct is hypocrisy. You can't get up and say, I love the Lord, and yet you don't give nothing to nobody, church. Nothing to God. I ain't talking about you if you ain't got nothing. I'm talking about you got a job. Amen. Ooh, I love the word. All right, well, we're going to go to the just shall live by faith. Where is it at? Well, I'll give you two guesses, Old Testament or New. You get two chances. I better stop right there. I'm already in trouble. How about Habakkuk? And then you'll see it again. Hallelujah. What's in the old is also? God bless y'all. Let me keep working. Conduct. The old saints used to the phrase it this way: the things I used to do, I don't do them no more. The places I used to go, I don't go no more. Some used to say, I look at my hands. They look new. Looked at my feet, and they did too. What they're trying to do is capture the idea and the identity of salvation and the experience. I am not the same person. I used to go to the club and the casino, but now that I have been saved, I'm over here. And God has taught me how to hate that and how to love this. And I used to make fun of the church. Now I'm preaching in the church. I used to fall asleep at the sermon. Now I'm giving sermons. See, that's called salvation. And when folks step on your feet, salvation says, let it go. When they talk about you like a dog, the Holy Ghost. See, now we're different between those who speak some language and those who got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost says, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I'll repay. Let them talk. Let them get on the phone and call you and talk like a dog about you. I got payday coming. Let them talk. Let them shame you. Let them make all kinds of foolish noises and comments about you and what God is doing. Payday. You're going to get paid. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Keep on sowing mess. You'll see what God, you'll see if God is real or not. Keep sowing mess in his house. See, you want to sow mess in the club, I don't care what you do, but you come up in this place. See, you done stepped, you done went too far. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Bless his name. Conduct is a change. And it ain't no advertised change. No bumper sticker and t-shirt. Talking about, I love Jesus, how about you? Ain't nobody love Jesus out there thinking about Jesus. Amen. That's why they say his name in vain. He don't mean nothing to them. Yeah. Just live it. I should see Christ in you. If I hurt you and you still love me, that's the Holy Ghost. You hurt me and I still love you, that's the Holy Ghost. You hurt me and you in the hospital and I don't see you, I ain't got, something ain't right. I'm bitter. Let them rot in the hospital. See, that ain't Jesus. I don't know what that is. And it definitely ain't blessed hope. Let's get that straight too. Amen. See, Holy Ghost is when you get cussed out, and then the person after they've cussed you says, oh, I remember, I need food. And you go into your wallet and say, here's $100. Let's do. Y'all not listening. See, y'all, see, where we at? Where we at, church? I'm talking about saved. Am I talking to some saved folk in here? Well, that's faith. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? Marcus, I hope we can get these verses up. Thank you. There are seven things I want to share with you about Jesus Christ, who he is. And we're going to give you some verses here. And if anybody asks you, then you have some backup, amen, out of the word of God. Because if you're going to have saving faith, you better place it in somebody who's able to save. Number one, he is the Son of God. Matthew 3:17 says, and lo, a voice from heaven, that would be God, was saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. See, we don't, see, some folk like to say, you Christians, y'all claim Jesus is the Son of God. No, we don't. God claims that Jesus is the Son of God. We're just agreeing with what God said. God said, this is my, see that pronoun? My beloved Son, in whom I, first person singular, am well pleased. Amen? That's God talking. Don't blame me. I'm just agreeing with God. Number two, he was born of the Virgin Mary. Luke 26 through 31. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Let me jump down to verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He was born of the Virgin Mary. Amen. Number three, he gave himself for our sins. Galatians 1:4 says, Jesus gave himself for our sins to free us from this evil world we live in. Jesus gave himself for our sins. Number four, God raised him from the dead. Acts 4:10, there's enough. You Christians, you believe that foolishness that Jesus raised from the dead. No, we don't. We believe God raised him from the dead. You got an issue about all this resurrection and virgin birth. You need to take it up with God. You need to take it up with God. All this stuff happened before I was even born, before I was even a thought. Don't blame me. Amen. If God said he raised Jesus up from the dead, and this is the same God gives me life, pays my bill, put food on the table, guess what? I believe he did it. Say, Pastor, well, you all got this crazy faith. You call my faith crazy. You call my faith crazy. Marlon and Brother Olatunde, they think we crazy. Because we put on these suits, Cassandra, and we get all dressed up, and we carry this book that was written thousands of years ago, and we come to a church with a whole bunch of folk who think like us. and we lift up hands and we sing and we do things, and there's this guy who's on the stage and he acts a complete fool, and he's just a jumping and a sweating, and he's doing all of this, and ain't nobody in the room who's appearing to be the guest of honor. These folk are crazy. That's crazy faith. You call me crazy. Let me tell you what's crazy. Crazy is thinking that you can take your paycheck to a boat. Since we're talking about faith. Faith is, let me get my wallet out. I heard they just built a brand new casino in South County. This is faith. You go take your paycheck. You go walk into a casino, since we're talking crazy. And you go come out richer than what you went in. When the odds are so innumerable against you. They built that casino. It was the middle of the day, 3,000 parking slots, all of them filled. They were parking in the overflow. And you call me crazy. I'm crazy. But the Powerball is $200 or $300 million, and you got, let me give my dollar. Give me but I'm crazy. Because I believe in a God where the Bible has proven to be more reliable and more textual than Homer's Iliad and all of the ancient writings of its day. It has been more textually criticized, found out to be proven, and by its predictability of various prophecies that have been fulfilled. And you go take your paycheck and tell me my faith is crazy. Since we talking crazy. That's crazy. You can't pay your bills. Where your check at? Go over that boat. I'm paying my bills. Who crazy now? I ain't trying to put down those who are addicted. I know you're fighting it. And if you're listening on the internet, my friend, I'm praying for you. Blessed Old Bible Church is here for you. If you're in an addiction, I want you to know he can save you. You don't have to stay that way. But if we talking crazy today, I'd rather be crazy in church than anywhere else. Number five, Jesus' blood washes away sin. 1 John 1:7. But if we live in the light, as God is in the light, we can share fellowship with each other. Then the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin. I said every sin. Some of you who haven't forgiven yourself, I said for every sin. Every sin. Number six, salvation is in Christ alone. Acts 4:12. Jesus is the only one who can save people. Let me read it again. Jesus is the only one who can save people. His name is the only power in the world that has been given to save people. We must be saved through him. Now, I know y'all like that King James version. For there is neither salvation in any other, for there is no other name written under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But this gives it clear. There is no other option for humanity. We were beyond salvageable. And the blood of Jesus Christ made a way where there was no way. And all of a sudden, you so big and bad to tell God there's another way after his son died on the cross for 6 long hours, nails in his hands, nails in his feet, and you done found you another way. You just as broken and hellbound as any other human who's been bought on the planet. But you done got so smart now, the blood of Jesus, you can bypass, and you got you away. God isn't smart enough to know that there's another way. He didn't know it was another way until you came along. I mean, what does that say of God? You mean to tell, I thought God was omniscient. I thought he knew everything. If he knew everything, then he had to know that one day you'd be born to tell him there's another way. You mean to tell me he's going to let his son go all through all that? Thursday night all the way down to Friday? You mean to tell me, God, he ain't got enough sense to know there was another way and you was about to tell it to him? Honey, there ain't no other way. There ain't no means by which the holiness of God could be satisfied legally. Redemption is a legal transaction. It's not just this big old, woo, I'm saved. It is a legal process by which God pardons you because someone has already satisfied the debt that you could not pay. And then here you are, got this big old debt, gonna say, I don't need his blood, God. Here, take my filthy rags, which is your righteousness. Here, take this instead. God ain't taking it, honey. Jesus' name is the only way that we can be saved. You're an elitist. I'm not an elitist. I'm preaching gospel. I didn't write the book, but I sure enough believe it. And I'll go to my grave with it. Yes, I will. Don't you fool yourself about me. Don't worry about me. I got mine and I'm running with it. Yeah, Pastor, but I think science is going to prove you wrong. I don't care. I'm still believing. We found Jesus. Yeah, me too. Yeah, he's in this sarcophagus. And here it is inscribed in Hebrew. So what? I'll still be in church on Sunday. You mean to tell me I'm going to believe man over the word of God? Look how much man has lied to you already. You already lost $55 billion by man. How many lies do you have to hear from man? The word of God is true. The word of God is real. You don't believe me? Look at what David says. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. You don't believe it? Why don't you try it? Since you all big and bad, you don't think the word of God can deliver you? Ask God to come in your life right now. He'll deliver you. Number 7, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. In other words, he possesses divinity and deity. Christians running around talking about, what's that, John 14 and 6. Quit quoting that verse in public. That's an in-house verse. Isn't that right? Y'all know John 14 and 6, right? I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's an in-house verse. Don't you quote that on Oprah. Because they don't know how to connect to that verse. Because you got to read the next 2 to 3 verses in which Philip says, Jesus, if you show us the Father, it will satisfy us. Jesus says to Philip, excuse me, we've been together how long? 3 years. And yet you don't know me, Philip? Oh, come on. Holy Ghost. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. My friends, Jesus is not just a way to God. Jesus is God. You pray to God, you pray to Jesus. You worship God, you worship Jesus. You say, Pastor, then you need to go to Philippians where it says in the word of God, wherefore God has highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him a name that is above every name. Watch this, that at the name of every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Tell me that ain't God. He the way. He ain't just a way. He is God. Quit undercutting him. He's a path. So is so and so. No. That's why I don't want you quoting it in the street. Because they say, well, that's your way. This is mine. No, baby, I'm sorry. Let me give you another verse. Colossians chapter 2. Verses 9 and 10. We got it. Hallelujah. All of God lives in Christ fully. I mean, that's clear, y'all. All of God lives in Christ fully, even, parentheses, when Christ was on earth. Verse 10, and you have a full and true life in Christ, who is the ruler over everybody. letting the Taliban and insurgencies and all this. We got a ruler. Planet got a king already. New world order, old world order, re-world order, I don't care. I got my king. How about you? That's who Jesus Christ is. He is God. Don't you get it twisted. Don't you go out there in the world saying he's a way as if there's it and then there's him and him and him. No, 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 no. Quote that to him. And give him in that New Century version so they don't get it twisted with the King James. All of God lives in Jesus. That's why he could touch you and heal you. That's why he could speak to the Sea of Galilee raging like it lost his mind. Here he is shaking himself off like Samson. But he ain't no Samson. Looking out at the sea, the men, just a rowing. He looking around all big and bad. Looked out at the sea, peace be still. No wonder Mark says it like this. What manner of man? What kind of man is this? That's why he could walk on the water. Because he was God, folks. Quit bringing him down and demoting him and trying to make him look like so-and-so so that you could be diverse and tolerant and this and that. The truth is the light. And if you don't want to believe it, that's your business. But the gospel is what it is. And it ain't subject to you and me trying to retranslate it and reinterpret it to make it fit into today's more modernistic, humanistic, secularized, irrational, unreasonable, sin-laced society. I'm not trying to please nobody but Jesus. And you ought to be trying to please him too. Question is, you got faith? That's really the question. It isn't whether Jesus really rose from the dead. You got faith? It isn't whether or not the Bible's real or not. You got faith? Where's your conduct? Where's your conviction? Does it line up with what this book teaches? Does it matter to you what God thinks about the life you live? Are you bothered by how you're living for God and you want to improve it every day? You working on you? You too busy working on you to be in everybody else's mix? You working on you. That means you're a Christian. That's what it means. I don't feel like one. You don't need to feel like one. The word of God declares you to be one. And can't nobody take it from you? Can't nobody even do anything about it? Because God has fixed it. And guess what? Whoever don't like you, that's their problem. Because if they going to heaven, you going to heaven, y'all going to be around for a long time. We might as well figure out how we going to get along with each other. Hallelujah. We might be roommates. Forever. Oh, I couldn't stand Brother Ron. Ooh, I'm so glad when I get to heaven, I'm going to see my mama. You over there. Ron will meet you. I said, what? Ron, the one you were with in Blessed Hope. What? Yeah, he's got your room ready for you. Y'all roommates. How long? Eternity. God loves us. You know why he loves us? Because he's God. Someone said, I don't know why the Lord loves me. I do, because he's God. The question is, do you have faith? Listen to me. Bow your heads. I want you to think about your life. And if you want God to increase your faith, or if you want him to give you faith to believe the gospel, which is true, I just need you right now to just lift your hand where I can see and I'll pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to come up and give some testimony, and you ain't got to get up and cry and talk about what you did last night. Uh-uh. God is already next to you in your seat. I see you. I see you. I see you. Who else? I see you, dear sister. Nobody's going to ask you to join a church, take you in a back room and try to get you hooked up with something. If you need prayer, just raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Think about it. Think about his love for you. Think about his love. Think about his love. Father, we stretch our hands to you right now. We need more faith. The world keeps telling us to shut up when we actually need to speak up. The world actually needs to listen up. But Lord, we need more faith. Faith in the midst of our trials. Faith in the midst of our distractions. Faith in the midst of our mess. We need more faith. And Lord, to those who raised their hands and to those who did not, the fact is everyone here needs more faith. And Lord, you're not about counting hands anyway, because you already know our hearts. Look on us, Father, and show us your mercy. Not because we deserve it, but because we need it. Your word tells us you made a way to make us right with yourself. Now, Lord, faith in Jesus is that way. Give us faith where there is doubt. Give us faith where there is fear. Give us faith where there is anxiety, that we might stand on the promises of your word. In Jesus' name. Thank you for loving us when there was nothing to love. Looking beyond our faults and seeing our needs. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Give them a hand praise, everyone in the building.